When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Market Watch is proudly brought to you by TopSport, home of the TopSport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. G'day everyone, welcome to the Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au, the home of the best multis. I am in a world of pain for this one in round eight as we go back to round seven. However, I am joined by a couple of the usual suspects, one of them who's in the doghouse with me. We're talking about Tristan Merlihan from TopSport. Oh, who knows what his ranking is at the moment. And then Jared Condon from Reading the Play, who I can't help but think is going to be a little bit of a skip in his step today. How are you, gentlemen?
Very good, Jimmy. Very good. And yeah, you're right. That doghouse. It's. I've stopped renting the doghouse. I bought it because I'm in there so much. So it's. But we've had a big week, and there was plenty happening over the course of the footy and all the other sporting events. But I'm just curious. Are you coming to us from Antarctica, or you're all rugged up? It's a very nice autumn day where we are, and yeah, it feels like you're in the middle of Antarctica.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not going to tell you who we're catering to, but their name rhymes with Tristan Merlihan. But it's very early here at Cawdor. I literally can't see 20 metres past the window there because of the thick fog that's set in, and it's a little bit cooler. However, Joe, I still am repping the Titans, the TopSport Titans gear on this chilly morning. Jared, what about you, mate? How are you going?
Oh, yeah, just another week here in paradise, Jimmy. Tristan, was that doghouse that you bought, was that at Bunnings? Maybe you can point out which aisle and which whereabouts Jimmy can go and buy a couple.
I'm certain when he walks through the doors, they'll be able to direct him straight there because I think it'll be a repeat purchase.
Oh, righto. Hey, old lemonade sandwich Merlihan. Rock solid. Really appreciate it. All right. If you're enjoying this podcast, that's great. I'm not, but anyway, Spotify, Apple, wherever it is.
I think you're rugged up, Jimmy, aren't you? You got up a couple of hours early today just to try and have a look at the points over on each of these games this weekend. Which one you want to go under?
To tell you what, Tracy from Cawdor being doing a lot of algorithmic work this week about what's happening in round eight. But anyway, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever it is that you get your podcast, check it out. Make sure you like and subscribe, and if you're liking it, leave a review. So let's go back before we go forward. One thing I will say, okay, out of form with the lunch bet. I can't miss with my best bet. Did it comfortably, Jared?
You mean the one that we were both on? Yes, it did.
Minus 3.5, the Sharkies.
Minus 3.5, never in doubt. And a lot of points in that game too, that the Cowboys very, very poor on the road. And we picked that one up, Jimmy. That was a nice result. On the lunch bet side of things, well, it might have been a plus 4 week for Jared. Tristan just bobbed up and down. He had a plus and a minus, so he ended up with 0. And Jimmy, you minus 8. And if you did want me to go through the scorecard, it has Jared at plus 8, Tristan at plus 3, Jimmy at minus 10. Tristan, any thoughts on the table at the moment? Any market moves?
I'm just interested because we were talking all last year. Jimmy was talking about the clock tower and when he was going to look at the clock tower. From memory, the Melbourne Cup's a two-lap race. So I'm just wondering if when we get to the end of this season, maybe that that two-lap scoreline might be a little bit different. But yeah, it's certainly a big gap in things now. I'm just sort of biding my time. I think Jared might puff when he gets to the clock tower. So I'm very happy sitting in the slipstream where we are at the moment.
Okay, let's just go back just to remind people for round seven. So the Titans plus 8.5 was something that I really looked at. Somehow I got coerced into doing the unders. How, I don't know. I think it was Tristan. It was Tristan. I blame Tristan. Anyway, unders line bet. The unfortunate thing about that is that it saluted 3 minutes after halftime, the unders line bet on the Gold Coast Titans versus Manly Seagulls game. The other disappointing thing about that, boys, is that there wasn't a try in the last 25 minutes. So they got their work done nice and early, which is no help to us. But anyway.
Jimmy, all the Titans lads were listening to the podcast last week. Once they were over, they were over. They knew what was going on.
Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did. They knew exactly how to work that. I know what we'll do. We'll stay 4 points behind the leaders, Manly, and we'll just to get the line bet over there. I'm sure Des would have been very happy with that.
What about the game in Darwin, Jimmy? Would have enjoyed watching that one. You had the Eels minus 7.5.
Yeah, no, that I was in the car on the way home after calling the Dragons Warriors game, and had to get tapping the phone saying, "Is this a repeat? Is my phone here buffering? Because we keep going back to these Dolphins tries." But what a performance! And actually, let's start there, Jared. Yep. So where do we go with this with the Parramatta Eels? I think you know the Rabbitohs were a little bit lucky; they were out of the spotlight, but they come roaring back into it this week because they take on Melbourne in Melbourne on Anzac Day, which is always a tough assignment. They haven't won down there. They just can't win down there. So this is going to be really interesting. And all the while, poor old Mr. Bennett, who couldn't make the trip to Darwin, is just working out which team he wants to coach next year.
Just damn amazing, isn't it, Jimmy, that we're talking about the Dolphins 7 weeks into their second season, having 8 or 9 outs on the road going to Darwin, putting 7 tries in the second half through the Eels, and a really listless offering from the Eels. And as you touched on Monday, you know, Brad Arthur then threw his players under the bus. There was no we. It was all about them, and he left himself on the outside looking in. They then put their leadership group up for their media op yesterday, and you know, we probably heard all the things that we expected to hear. I mean, I briefly touched on last week, I heard from a very reliable source that 2 weeks ago in their board meeting at Parramatta, when they were discussing the Lomax contract, again, the discussion was brought up about Brad Arthur's tenure moving forward and was he the right man, and watching these next number of weeks, well, I've got no doubt that this is headed in the wrong direction, and I think he's a very good coach, and I think he's done an outstanding job. And if people and the Eels fans will remember, if you go back to the basket case he walked into, it was an absolute mess of sitting at the bottom of the table and then salaries, cap scandals, and God knows what. He's taken them to the grand final, but sometime sooner or later, there may come a time, and I think that's what's unfolded at Parramatta, and that's an absolute mess. And Jimmy, I think then the other talking point is the Knights. And, you know, Kalen Ponga clearly had a hip pointer injury, was needled up in the second half last week, then comes out and plays again needled up. You can't tell me that being needled up doesn't lead to some issues that he clearly just didn't look right and has potentially led to another injury. And I think the Knights are also in free fall. And again, I'm hearing through the last couple of days that your people are talking to my people and sounding out different coaching options around the market now, whether they be assistant coaches or potential head coaches for the Knights moving forward. So there's a lot of disarray. And the Rabbits, as you touched on, had the luxury of the week off. They go to Melbourne where they have never, ever won in Melbourne. If they come away from a touch-up there, then I think that's back in the news and focus again.
So, Tristan, all of those results are interesting on a micro level for week 7, but what has it done for the market overall? Because, and in particular, the other one, you know, there was a lot of momentum building for the Warriors, but they've come over and were absolutely poleaxed by a Dragon side that had clearly their best game of the year. So give us an understanding around the premiership market with that week 7 results.
Yeah, well, we've seen Penrith now go very clear favourites, and whether that's just due to the fact that Nathan is back into that lineup this weekend, they're $3.30. The Broncos, they're still ticking along very, very nicely. They're $4.20, so two clear 1 and 2 picks. The Storm sitting there at $6.50. The Roosters, $11. The Sharks, $13. They've just crept in a little bit. Manly, $13. And then the Warriors, as you say, they've ducked out now. They're out to $15. They were into as short as $11 in the last couple of weeks, so they've drifted out a few rolls. The Cowboys, $23. Canberra and the Dolphins at $41. Dolphins were that team you touched on, Jimmy. I think I said it last week. I'm just waiting for them to slip over when they've got this perceived lack of depth, and they just keep finding a way to get a result. It's just phenomenal. And then you got Parramatta and the Rabbits at 50-1, with the Dragons, as you say, off their best result into 67.
Tristan, you're there at the coalface, literally with the Titans. Very disappointing for them the week before against the Raiders. Another really good performance, but not getting the win. What's the feel there with? I know Dez is not under pressure, but I'd imagine the club feels under pressure given the fact they're still winless.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you know, you would have loved to have picked up a win over the last couple of weeks when, as you say, they're very close and they're good performances. But I feel a different sort of vibe than probably 3 weeks ago when, you know, they showed signs against the Cowboys in the second half, but that was very much assisted by the sin bin. So, you know, there was still a lot of negativity surrounding there. But I think the effort and the performance has been a lot better. So I feel like despite the fact that on paper they're in a much worse spot in terms of a record, it seems a little bit of positivity out of it, and they've got a tough run coming up. But even going over to New Zealand, there feels a little bit of optimism there.
Ashley Klein is not refereeing this weekend, Jared. What was your take on that?
Well, Jimmy, I touched on with you on radio last Friday. I thought he was very poor on Thursday night. I thought he was very poor for both teams. You know, he has had a number of weeks where he's also not had the spotlight game or one of the top two or three major games in the weeks leading up to last week. Comes out of that, and now for the first time in, gee, it would be a long, long time, and I'm talking 10-plus years, he's not refereeing this weekend and not doing any of the marquee games. He will be the video referee for two games over the weekend, but that's a very major shift. Very major shift.
I'm just trying to work out how old Ashley Klein would be. He has been refereeing for a very long time.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of our listeners might not remember he was the number one referee in England for a long time before he moved out here.
Okay, they're saying he's born in 1979. So what's that make him? 45.
Yep.
45. Okay. I mean, there comes an expiration date for all athletes, players, or whatever you like. But you know, he has been doing it for a long time. But there you go. It's a very interesting watch.
Jimmy,
hey gents,
one other key point that spoken to me about through the last couple of days, with all of this momentum behind the Warriors, and clearly, you know, the enormous crowd support and the whole of New Zealand now getting behind them. A little interesting snippet in the last couple of weeks. With the announcement that Fenua Blake was putting his hand up and then given the release and then signed elsewhere, and we had all of that happening in the lead into the start of the season, I was told this week of at least four names, front rowers, who actually individually approached the Warriors and Webster to say, hey, if you're interested in me, I'm interested in coming to the Warriors. And two of those are current internationals, and one of them a very big name front rower. And so, you know, these you know, New Zealanders who, I think three of the four are New Zealanders who have been away from home for a long period of time. We had all of that COVID interruption and all that sort of thing. Are very hooked in and invested in what's happening with the Warriors. And then the other thing was that Sean Johnson, once Fisher-Harris was named 2 weeks ago, went to management and said, I want to play next year. You just tell me what the number is.
Yeah, wow. Is that big name front rower literally got a big name? Am I fishing in the right area there? Or is it, well, are there lots of letters?
That's a different one, Jimmy, a different one.
So it begs the question then, and I know, Tristan, you've got the Titans over there in Auckland and going over there, but it begs the question, doesn't it, about the second team or the 18th team or the 19th team or whichever one, and how New Zealand could play a role in that for so many reasons, right? One, you're going to get players who want to return home. Two, you're going to get already people on the ground there. You know, one of their natural advantages, the natural advantage that any bid from New Zealand has is that we don't have to outsource players from anywhere else. We got them here, South Island or otherwise, because we look at the performances of the Crusaders, we look at the opportunity that a second NRL side would present even in the South Island. And I think they'd be very strong candidates, Tristan.
Oh, absolutely. And can you imagine the rivalry when they take each other on? And I just think it would be the way that the team's improved and also the supporters improved. Like, as you say, I'm going over today to go and watch the Titans play on Anzac Day, and I think it sold out before the season started. And that's just a fantastic, and every game you see, there's a great vibe and great atmosphere in the stadium. So I think there's so many reasons why, you know, it needs to be looked at in terms of that expansion.
Another point that was made during the week, Jimmy, that I think is very valid, is it's time now for the NRL to also assist at the next level down. I know that the Warriors now have all of their junior rep teams playing, including reserve grade in the Australian competition. But for a domestic competition across New Zealand at A-grade level and supporting those clubs at a higher emphasis and focus so that they can start to grow the domestic game that's then going to feed what's going on, both for the benefit of the NRL and also for the Warriors and for potentially another team out of New Zealand. Because as we know, 65% or more of the game now are Polynesian players. We need to continue to cultivate that.
Bartercard Cup is what it was previously known, wasn't it? The nationwide, or was that only on the North Island? Christchurch in 2026 will get a brand new stadium. It'll hold 25,000 people. It's got a roof on it. So, you know, like it's they need content. It's compelling. Absolutely brilliant if you go online and check out that stadium. Hey, did we get a, where are we at with our charity balance too, Tristan?
Yeah, as you say, there was a couple of good collects there, primarily surrounding the Sharks, and we're almost at that 9,000 mark, 8,955 at the moment. So ticking along very, very nicely.
And just to mention for our listeners too, we have that event on the 17th of May coming up in Brisbane, which is the Magic Round. If you're coming up to Brisbane on the Thursday night or the Friday morning to be there for that, we have a lunch in the city at Fortitude Valley, right on the edge of the city and literally only a 10 to 15 minute ride to Suncorp, where we've got Ben Eichen, we've got Petro Nasiva, we've got a number of other people attending, raising money for Pass It On Clothing. I think as of yesterday, we're about 70% sold, which is fantastic. The response has been brilliant. So 17th of May, go to my social or Pass It On Clothing social pages or go to Eventbrite. It's easy to find. We're selling individual tickets or combined table tickets or groups of 2, 4, 6. It'll be a fantastic afternoon and a great way to start Magic Round.
Fortitude Valley, right on the edge of sanity too, if that lunch goes the way of some of those other ones. So we can look forward to that.
Is sanity a nightclub, Jimmy? It might have been one in the valley I've missed.
Exactly. All right, let's get into it. Round 8, Anzac Round. And we start with three games on Anzac Day. So the first of them is the Warriors up against the Titans. This is 2 p.m. our time. That'll be 4 p.m. Tristan's time over there in Auckland. They've got a bit of a concern. Kurt Capewell is out. Jacob Laban comes in for his replacement. Good news with Dylan Walker added to the bench. And Zion Mayu is chance to make his NRL debut. So we wish him all the very best with that. The Titans, they've gone with the same 17 that nearly beat Manly. So Dave Fifita, again, named to start. We'll see what happens there. Phil Sammy and Keenan Palacia still sidelined. Where's your market on this one, Tristan?
Yeah, this one's moved around a little bit. It went from 12.5 back into 11.5 and then back out to 12.5. So it's back to the number it opened at. But it's $1.23, the Warriors, $4.20, the Titans, adding that 12.5, short of the plus though, 185, and then 45.5 the total points. So very close to that number Jimmy was very keen on last week. So this is going to be an interesting game on paper, and the way the Titans played last week and the way the Warriors played last week, you'd have to give the plus a chance. But just there's going to be such a massive atmosphere over there for the Warriors, you'd have to imagine it's going to really lift them. And a little bit nervous going over.
Yeah, I think the key worry here is the Titans going back on the road again off the back of going to North Queensland, then down to Canberra. They came back last week at home and, gee, they were so close to a win. And I thought at times we're going to end up winning. How do you score 30 points at home and not end up with a result? Unfortunately, letting 34 through to the Eagles. And some of them were quite soft tries and a couple of them off key errors after the Titans had scored. I really like the return to form of a couple of players. I think Brian Kelly's been super for the Titans over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And when he gets clean ball on that left edge, he is very damaging. Absolutely gave Garrick a carve-up last week. They're very, very close, but, gee, this is a bit of an arse to then have to travel over to New Zealand. I think they've lost 4 of their last 5 when they've been over to NZ, and I think their overall distant travel record is poor, but they might get the Warriors at the right week off that poor loss last week down at Wynn Stadium, but they're limping with injuries, and Now, my understanding is that Sean Johnson was line ball about playing last week, but did a similar scenario this week. He'll probably play, but he's not on his own. They've got a number of busted troops off a couple of big efforts and amazing atmosphere with the Warriors. Gee, 12 and a half is a big line. If I had to touch the line, I'd be with the Titans, with the Warriors to be winning.
Yeah, Warriors to win. It's incredible, wasn't it? The first 15 minutes in that game against the Dragons, they rolled upfield that comfortably and punched through the middle, and they probably should have had two, possibly three tries. They got one where Sean Johnson just strolled through. But from that point on, it was all the Dragons. However, Adam Fanua Blake and Torhu Harris were still arguably the two of the best players on the field. So they got some really good performances out of those guys. They're going to need that because Johnson has got that Achilles injury. Have we got anything around Wade Egan too, Jared?
Well, looks like he's going to play, Jimmy, but yes, you're right. He did look like he was copped another injury during the course of that game. The other thing that worried me about the Titans was, sorry, about the Warriors is, as you say, they had so much field position off rolling forward, but when they got there, their setup and execution in that final red zone was really poor, and they should have come away with at least three tries. The other thing that worried me, as the game went on, they like to play from a centre field position and then choose which edge they want to go to, but instead of having that depth, and some depth with their structure. They were playing at literally angles, running across field, which was very, very easy to defend. So they've got a bit of work to be doing in attack, I think, as well.
I think the loss of Luke Metcalf is being felt more heavily. Like, Tamari Martin was very quiet, and just that running presence, which works really well with the balance with Sean Johnson. I thought Kieran Foran was excellent last week against his old side. Like, so creative, what he was able to do. Plays with toughness. You know, we know all about that, but just couldn't quite get it done. I'm not going to get any sort of lunch bet associated with the bloody Titans. I know that. But shout out to you, Joe. But I would take the Warriors at the minus 12.
What about over and under, Jimmy?
Oh, hang on. Get out of it, Tristan. Seriously. No, thank you. Once bitten. It's such a lesson to learn. Like, you know, I never do the unders. I do the unders and I'm beaten in 43 and a half minutes. So lesson learned. Don't worry.
Well, I'm told that when our podcast went up last week, that Spotify crashed and they were trying to investigate whether it was actually Taylor Swift going online with a new album or whether it was word spreading that Jimmy was on the unders.
Yeah, if you play it backwards, there's all sorts of satanic things that come out of that. But anyway, that's something for another time. The next game on Anzac Day is the Dragons up against the Roosters. This will be 40,000 people plus at the brand new Allianz Stadium. It'll be absolutely amazing. No changes to the side that got the job done against the Warriors, and why would there be? They were excellent. Best performance of the season. For the Roosters, Dom Young and Sam Walker are back. I don't know if I like this. Dom Young on the right wing. Swalehi goes back into the centres. That'll be the left centre. Michael Jennings out to 18th man. Connor Watson back to the bench for Sam Walker going in. And Zach Docker-Clay drops off the bench. I think Coach Robinson has a couple of big decisions to make here and he hasn't made them just yet. Tristan, what's the market saying?
Yeah, this one is gravitating right around the key number of six. So I think I know where this game's going to fall. But it's $2.75 Dragons, $1.45 the Roosters. We opened it at flat six, brought it into 5.5, and now it's jumped out past that number to 6.5. And there's a little push towards the minus of that 6.5. So certainly been primarily Roosters money to begin with, 43.5 the total points. But as you say, the Dragons were so good last week. They've exceeded a lot of people's expectations to start this season. The Roosters coming off a performance there against Melbourne against a good side. When Munster got sin-binned, I thought they were a good chance of coming home over the top, but they just couldn't quite get it done. But as you say, there's a couple of key ins for the Roosters, but whether that's how the side lines up, time will tell. But at the moment, 6.5 and should be an absolute beauty there at Allianz.
Yeah, those three ins have pushed the Roosters to the market position they are. And the problem is, I think, that you know, for the last 5 or 6 weeks, we keep marking the Roosters off a number and a position in the market off expectation that they're just not performing to. And we go to that game last week. I mean, I thought that there were two Melbourne tries that were very questionable. And so the margin's only six. But I thought Melbourne by far the better team and came up with six line breaks to the Roosters one. The Roosters attack has just been spluttering and chunking along for weeks. They've got major issues there. What he does in the halves now, Walker comes back. Gee, I'd love to see Sandon Smith off the bench. I thought he was a bright touch to their game late last year, and when he played, I think one or two games earlier this season. But this is an amazing annual clash. I think it's the best of Anzac Day. We've got the Dragons hosting it. The problem for the Dragons now, this is their third game in 11 days, and I just wonder if that's starting to tell, especially into a game that I think looks tight and very physical. So I'm with the Dragons. A lot of hesitation around that. I'd love to see the Dragons. I'm with the Roosters. I'd love to see the Dragons continue on their quality form, won three of their last four, but this does look an ask. I'm with the Roosters at home on Anzac Day, but I'm just looking forward to the contest.
What about the line, Jared, at the 6.5?
Yeah, I'd want to be with the Dragons, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think I'm the same with that. That's bounced around too. They were about $2.50, Tristan, and now they're out to $2.75. Did I see? I can't believe that price.
And I think that's where the, you know, we did get into 5.5, which is when it would have been at that $2.50 mark, and then obviously, you know, once it gets above that key number of 6, that's when it shoots right out. So, I certainly think, you know, on paper you feel this game's a very, very tight contest, and if you can get it more than a converted try up your sleeve, it certainly gives you takes you a long way on a bus.
Well, the performance of Zach Lomax and Ben Hunt last week was extraordinary, and one of the things that you like about it, like, for long periods of time, they just had to keep kicking the ball and chase their kick. Kick the ball, chase their kick. And they had a clear plan about it, and they had to repeat it. And they did it, you know, like this. You know, say what you like about Shane Flanagan, but the hallmarks of his team are toughness around a defensive effort, and that's exactly what we're starting to see from the Dragons, you know. Some of these guys like your Michael Molos, who are underappreciated. Jack DeBellin comes on and is really good off the bench for them, and you know, I just think that the expectation that we have with the Roosters haven't been realised yet. Back to the point that you were making, Jared, and now I think they've tweaked their side. Swalehi on the right side was so effective the last two games, and I know Dom Young has shown that capabilities, but moving him now to left centre, Swalehi, you get nothing out of him, and then you've got Manu at right centre, who had two touches in the first half. You know, it's just, there's some really big decisions that haven't been made yet, and maybe it's through my lens I look at that, but I think this and Keary and Walker in the halves, like what Luke Keary, what are we going to get from him this week? Because when he's playing without Sam Walker, he's a different player to when he is playing with him. So that's why I like the Dragons plus 6.5. All right, the game on Thursday night, Anzac Day night, Storm v the Rabbitohs. Wow, what an interesting game. So no change for Craig Bellamy. Nelson Asifa-Solomona, he's named to start. So that might change with Christian Welsh. We'll wait and see. But for the Rabbitohs, here we go. Damien Cook back in. Peter Mamazoulas to the bench. Jai Arrow named, he's come back in from a shoulder injury. Cam Murray is in after completing concussion protocols. No Tevita Totola. Shaq Mitchell comes in for him. And Jacob Gagai in for the injured Tyrone Munro. As you mentioned earlier, Jared, they have never won in Melbourne. What's your price, Tristan?
Yeah, and the market is certainly pushing towards the Melbourne side. They're $1.19, the Rabbitohs $4.75, and the line's gone from 12.5 out to 13.5, and at that key number of 13.5, it's gone to $1.85, the minus. So certainly a strong push, one-way traffic for the Storm at this point, 43.5 the total points. The Storm just keep winning, but you know, in nearly every game, you think they're a chance of going under at some point. So whether they can put it all together on this big traditional game for them, a traditional home game for them at Anzac Day, it's going to be interesting. The Rabbitohs, how they come off that really solid effort against the Sharks, and the Sharks backed up their performance with a really good effort last week, and now they've had the bye to get themselves together to potentially rally the troops. I think this game is so important to their short-term future anyway, to see where everything sits. So I'm curious to see how this one goes. On paper, I think the number's quite high, but it's just how the Bunnies actually aim up. They'll need to put all of their intensity that they showed against the Sharks a couple of weeks ago to keep this tight.
And I'm expecting that for the first 20 minutes, but I just don't know that the Rabbitohs, on all of the form and everything else that's going on in the club at the present moment, can sustain that. I think they start well, they come off a bye, there'll be a little bit of a freshen up and, you know, 10 days of training and focus and the like. I worry about their middle. I think with Totola out, I thought right from the start of the season, they were already one big man short in the middle. You know, does Arrow play? I mean, he's been named. We'll wait and see. The worry about the Rabbitohs clearly is that off six games, they're leaking 34 points a week. My goodness, that's just an absolute horrible stat. Then going down to Melbourne, 18 times have been to Melbourne and lost all 18. The last 11 in a row at Amy Park is just a staggering record against them. I went looking for the Storm at 12.5 for the last couple of days. They've won 5 from 6. It's very typical of a Bellamy start to the season. They just keep winning, and it's not so much about margins. It's about winning and then building a bank that takes them into the season. But the problem is the last 4 wins have all been by margins of 6, 2, 2, 4. You know, I don't want to be giving up 14, although I think they've got the potential to put this game away. Anzac Day might see a little bit more out of the Rabbits. I just wonder if they can sustain that once their rotation start into half time and then the second half. Certainly with the Storm, I think they'll be winning. I'll be having them straight up in a couple of different all-ups through the weekend. And I just wonder if the Death March noises start again for the Rabbits after this game.
Well, Jared, the bookmakers have set the line at 13.5. Where are you on that?
I'd be in the minors, Jimmy.
Yeah, righto. Okay, I was ready to launch into a lunch bet on that one. The Storm haven't won a game by more than 8 points this year. So as you say, I don't know whether it's typical of the Melbourne Storm, but it seems to be the way they've characterised themselves over the last couple of years. However, they've got a South Sydney side that is still all at sea. The best thing that happened to South Sydney was the bye. It took everything out of the spotlight, thrust a couple of other teams into the spotlight, which we'll get to very shortly. But I think all of those cracks are going to be uncovered again down there at Amy Park. It's the Melbourne Storm on an emotion-charged night. I don't think we've seen the best. Jerome Hughes is the second-best halfback in the competition. He was exceptional against the Roosters, and clearly the difference there. Munster feels like he's not fully fit, but we sort of know that. Harry Grant, is something going on there. He's not the effective player that he was previously. And I still think that Pappenhausen can get back to his best, although he might have shaded James Tedesco last week. Add to that, Eli Katoa, Sean Blore, who's been superb for them on the edge. They're ready to explode in my mind. I see this as a minus 13.5 game, emotion charge down there at Amy Park on Anzac Day. They do it very well. I'm expecting a big Storm victory.
43.5, Jimmy. You think there's points in the game?
Jared, see these? Those fingers have been burnt. So
I think it's an overs game, Jimmy. There you go. I'm on your side. I think there's 44 overs, or more. Right. I think the Storm kick away late.
Yeah. You're looking at a 32-12 scoreline, aren't you?
Yep.
Which just gets you home, Jared. So there we go. All right, let's go to Friday night. Talk about interesting games. Four Pines Park is the venue for the Seagulls taking on the Eels. So here we go again. Manly and Parra. Josh Alloway is back. Matt Lodge to the bench and Aaron Woods to 18th man. Nathan Brown back in. Dean Madison out. So that's a stronger Manly side. For the Eels, Ethan Sanders makes his NRL debut at 5'8". That's for Dejan Arsi. Mike Asivo is back for Sean Russell. Kelma Tuolungi, Brendan Hands, and Makahesi Makatoa all come back in. Ryan Madison into the starting sides for Blaise Taulungi and Luca Moretti. So just going back to that point that you made, Jared, about who spoke at the media session for the Eels yesterday. It was all the senior players. I'd die for Brad Arthur, said Regan Campbell-Gillard. And so as a result of getting beaten, 44 points to whatever it was, 8 up there in Darwin, he's dropped the bloke who had a concussion in Dejan Arsi, he's put the young kid in. He's dropped the winger in Sean Russell, and he's dropped the reserve back in Blaise Taulungi. So here we go. That's the definition, Tristan, of shuffling the deck chairs.
It is, and the market certainly, this game's jumped around quite a bit because the market opened at 8.5. It got all the way out to 10.5. It looked like absolute one-way traffic there early in the week. And then when we got to 10.5, there has been a little bit of a push back towards the Eels. It's back down to 9.5. So looks like it's going to hover around about that figure. It's $1.29 Manly, $3.60 Parramatta, and 9.5, 185 the minus, 195 the plus, 44.5 the total point. So Manly back at Brookie Friday night. It's going to obviously be a big occasion there. Parramatta, as you say, shuffling the deck chairs, still missing Mitch Moses, which is absolutely key. And obviously, Gutho's having those issues with his knees as well. So Certainly short price favourites, Manly. Can Parramatta do anything to lift?
Well, Gutho's got a problem with some knees. I think there's a few other blokes got some problems with their shoulders. Some of that offering last week was just absolutely horrible. But it wasn't just last week. I said after that game against the Raiders, how poor they were. I was with them the win at home against the Cowboys. And then I said again last week, while they won 27-20, they were horrible. They were down early 14-0. How they got themselves back into the game was more about how poor the Cowboys were. I went looking for the Dolphins last week, but the 8 or 9 outs just scared me off the game, and yet they completely compounded in the second half. That's 3 weeks in a row. This is not just a one-off poor offering last week. There's issues here that everybody's not on the same page. Jimmy, they bring in the young halfback, and you touched on this a couple of weeks ago, that the Dogs had been barking that he'd already signed with the Raiders. Arthur had a chance to bring him in a couple of weeks ago and went in two different directions 2 weeks in a row, yet any of the form analysis of those watching New South Wales' Reserve Grade Cup was that his form wasn't great. And now he comes into first grade. He's going to have a lot more pressure and focus on him. I'm just not sure that it's the right week, but clearly they've gone for change. These two take turns in winning, and 9 times out of 10, it's the home team that comes up with the victory. So Eagles, we've already seen 2 games at Brookvale where they've been very, very good, beat the Roosters and then absolutely trounced the Panthers. I thought they were due for a down week last week, and conceding 30 to the Titans on the road was a poor offering. But I think back at Brookvale, they'll be much stronger. They get 2 very key ins in the middle here, which I think strengthens up where there was a bit of weakness last week. That's where Parramatta also got them 4 weeks ago at Parramatta Stadium, back through the middle. I thought they might have had a little bit of assistance that day when the game mattered, though. I'm with the Eagles at home. I think a number under 10 is right. I think it probably starts 10.5. If you could get 9.5 prior to that, I think the Eagles will be winning by 12 or more for mine.
Okay, 9.5 is the line as set by our good friends at Top Sport. That must be Lloyd who's doing that in there before he takes off on a holiday. So well done to him on that one. I'm just amazed at that Parramatta stuff. You know, like you hear a lot of stories about what goes on, and Brad Arthur has, from based on his results over the history of his time there, you know, he is clearly a coach with talent. But there comes a point where there needs to be some accountability, and especially through the senior group. And for the senior group, you know, he comes out after the game and he throws everyone under the bus. And then there would have been those people who he didn't throw under the bus and say, oh, no, I'm looking after you guys and, you know, keep them close. And now they come out and say, I'd die for Brad. You know, like it's just got all the hallmarks of a lack of honesty within the organisation. And when you've got to have these really honest conversations, that it feels like that's not happening. And as a result of that, you get situations like what happened in the second half against the Dolphins, right? Things just fall apart. Players give up. And, you know, I've seen that firsthand. So back at home, the Seagulls, they weren't great, but my word, they can attack when they want to. And great to see Tom Trbojevic. I want to see him smile more. He's not smiling on the field. He scored 2 tries, had another one disallowed, had a heap of try assists in that game against the Titans, and I don't think he cracked a smile, Tommy. So I don't know what's going on there. High-flying Seagulls on Friday night, for my mind, -9.5, not enough. So I'll be taking them.
And, Jimmy, one of the bets of the rounds will be that right edge of the Eagles ripping apart that left edge of the Eels. And that's Garrick. And certainly any time try scorer for he, or the winger outside him, or the second rower inside him, you can bank that one, I think.
So that's Olakau'atu, Saab, and Garrick on that right edge. Yep. So
those 3 will have a pick.
Don't disagree with that. Big game on Saturday night. It's out at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. It's the West Tigers taking on the Broncos. How's your timing, West Tigers? I'll get to your side. Solomon Alamolo is going to make his NRL debut, so we wish him all the best. Junior Tupou, there he is a loss. He's been playing some really good footy. Fanua Pole is out. John Bateman goes back to lock, and Sam Fainu comes in to start on the edge. But for the Broncos, what about this? Payne Haas is back. Adam Reynolds is back. Brendan Priakura is back. Unfortunately, Ezra Mam out, Selwyn Cobbo out, Jock Madden goes from 7 to 6, and Dean Mariner comes back in. So it's a fair replacement with he going onto the wing and Jesse Arthurs switching to the centres. I can only imagine what the market says on this one, Tristan.
Yeah, well, the Broncos are very short price favourites. They're $1.22 and the Tigers are $4.30. But there has been a push for the Tigers at the plus since we opened the market. We actually opened it at 13.5 and it's now 11.5. But it is 185 the minus, 195 the plus on the Tigers, and then 45.5 the total points. So, yeah, the Broncos, they've been really, really good without a number of their key players over the last while. They get some really key inclusions back here. And they take on the Tigers, who, despite a little bit of improvement earlier in the season, look to have dropped off a little bit in recent times. So 11.5 is the line. And at the moment, despite that early push for the Tigers, I'd expect there to be money for the Broncos as we get closer to jump.
So where do we think the Tigers are right now? I think they're starting to get to a crossing point in their season, Jimmy, because if we look at, off a couple of wins, you know, all of a sudden there's an expectation that they've improved and it's in for a better season and all of those sorts of things. They now come off three losses. They're 2 from 6. I think at this stage of the season, we probably thought that they might have been 1 from 7. I just wonder if water's starting to seek its own level and they're probably starting to settle back at where we thought they might be this year. Then they go to Campbelltown here, lost their last 9. What a horrible record for what should be a prime home ground advantage against the Broncos, who are just high flying. The thing about the Broncos, even with the 2 outs of Marmon and Cobbo, you know, they've got suitable replacements. Madden's been playing first grade for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He knows what he's going to be doing. He's got Reynolds at 7. Arthur slots into the centres. I mean, Arthur's, I think, really aimed up and developed his game over the last 18 months at the top level. It brings Mariner in, who's a very speedy finisher on an edge. Pecora back in the second row behind Haas. 11.5's not enough for mine. I think, you know, the Brisbane can put 11.5 on you in a matter of minutes with so much skill and a silky attack that they have, especially that young kid at the back. Broncos, and write your own ticket, I think, on the number.
Yeah, I tend to think the same way, right? 28-0 at halftime against the Raiders, and they came out and bombed at least 2 tries early on in that second half, and you thought, whoa, this could be anything. In the end, it was not as big a margin as it could have been, especially with the absence of Fogarty. But the Broncos just create. They are lethal. You know, speed kills, and Reece Walsh is at the heart of that. And then you get back the best prop in the game and arguably one of your best players and really important for the team in Adam Reynolds. I just see the Broncos exploding in this one. I think the Tigers are still exceeding expectations. Like, they had the situation there, if Justin Olam doesn't get ankle tapped, they might be leading 12-0 against the Panthers, and, you know, maybe that changes the complexion of that game. So for them to be defensively relatively strong against the Panthers, I don't mind, but they've got a horrible record at Campbelltown. This is not the side you want to be playing at that venue. So 11.5, I'm with you, Jared. I don't think that's enough for this Broncos team. All right, the other game on Saturday night, the Panthers travel up to the Cowboys. This time they're at home, the Cowboys, so that'll change everything. He's not made any big changes, Todd Payton. Taumalolo back to the bench for Griffin Neem. We'll get to his numbers. Jack Gajewski out of the 17. Thomas McKayley, new face on the bench after he impressed during the trial period. But the big news, Tristan, for the Panthers, Nathan Cleary is back. Brad Schneider drops out. Dylan Edwards named. We'll have to wait and see about that hamstring. Taylan May is back in at the centres after taking a week off for personal reasons as well. Where's your market on this one, mate?
Yeah, it's been a tricky one to price because the Cowboys were very, very ordinary last week, but we know how much improved they are up there at Townsville. And Penrith only just got over the line against the Tigers, as you say, even though it looked comfortable enough on the scoreline. The Tigers were in it for a long way. Obviously, Cleary back. Will there be any rust? We'll see. $1.29 Penrith, $3.60 the Cowboys, 9.5. The market has remained exactly where we opened it at 9.5, but we are into $1.85 the minus, $1.95 the plus, and 41.5 the total points.
I'm not sure that the story is all that different here for the Cowboys than it was for the Eels that were just shuffling around the deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, I guess under the current system now at the NRL, you have a top 30, maybe 33, 34 players in your squad. And so your core 17 or 18 are the ones that you just have to keep going back to, and then you have to try and get a result out of. And other than, you know, a couple of positional changes here, Payton is stuck with the same team that's come off 2 really poor losses. You know, I said if we go back 4 or 5 weeks ago when they went to Brisbane, I thought that's what we saw of the Cowboys for this year, and that is that they don't like that tough stuff of defending. They're nice and silky and flat track bullies when they're against teams that they can bash up with their attack. When they get to teams in the better half of the table, they just turn it up. We saw that last week. That was a horrible offering down at Shark Park, putting 42 through them. It could have been even more. I expect a response this week and then probably a dip again. They're back at home, some advantage. I wanted more than 10.5, though, with the Panthers. The quality of their defence is what's going to trouble, I think, the Cowboys' attack. And so that's why I'd want to be with Penrith. If it got to 10, I'd probably chance my arm with the Cowboys at home with 10 start. Interesting with Cleary, he must be very ready to go because he's off a hamstring return into a four and a half hour flight up to North Queensland, then a game, and he'll come out of that game with a bit of soreness and another long flight home. And then the Panthers have a game Thursday night next week. So they clearly think that he's ready to play given all of those conditions. And that being the case, I'm certainly strongly with the Panthers. If it got to 10, 10 and a half, I'd probably have a small interest on the Cowboys at home with such a big line. But I think the Cowboys are in a little bit of free fall.
9.5. Is what Tristan has set it at, 9.5. So, yeah, I'm with the Panthers all over that because of all those things that you said, Jared. You know, there's a big part of the game where you have to do the nitty-gritty and the stuff that's not that flashy. They score some of the most remarkable tries, the Cowboys, but then they'll give up two in the process. So that mathematics doesn't work in my mind. So the last team you want to be trying to do that against is the Penrith Panthers. It's a very good point. We had Willow from Windsor, who's a mad Panthers fan, send a text message and say, why on earth would you put Nathan Cleary on a plane with hamstring issues and all of that? So as you say, you know, they invariably get it right out there at Penrith when it comes to their medical staff. So must be very confident about what he's doing. Too hard nosed, the Penrith Panthers. This is the last side that the Cowboys want to be playing, trying to find themselves some bit of form after that very poor offering against the Sharkies. So the Penrith Panthers at -9.5 is what I would be looking at for that one. I just wanted to make mention of Jason Taumalolo. So 32 minutes last week, 5 carries, 43 run meters. Like, it's incredible to think how quickly that has changed during the course of, you know, whatever injury it is. And given the Dale Finucan, which we'll get to very shortly, and that's concussion and that's a very different thing, but it is a very interesting watch what the Cowboys do with Jason Taumalolo in the incoming.
Well, and Jimmy, on the back of that, you know, Peyton flagged this 2 years ago when he first took over. And the fact that, you know, signing 8- and 10-year deals for middle forwards is very dangerous. You know, you're forecasting a long way into their future for a lot of wear and tear for these big fellas. It's one thing to be signing a 7 or a 6 or a 1. It's a lot different with a big middle forward.
Yeah, quarterbacks sign 5-year deals and running backs sign 1-year deals, don't they, in the NFL? So that is an interesting watch. Okay, so we've got the Dolphins up against the Knights. This is Sunday. This is at Suncorp Stadium. What about that stat that came out? You know, last year, the second highest average crowd was the Dolphins behind the Broncos. And that, of course, impacted by the fact that they get huge crowds when they play at Suncorp Stadium. So expect another one. Let's go to the Dolphins. So same, one change. Kurt Donoghue in, Sean O'Sullivan out. Trey Fuller keeps his spot at fullback. How exciting was that? That was absolutely fantastic to see. All wholehearted, the performances there from the Dolphins. The Knights, on the other hand, no Kalyn Ponga. So Dane Gagai is back in after a calf injury. Jack Cartwright takes the bench after Jack Hetherington's suspension. And David Armstrong, the 23-year-old from Mungindi, Jared, up your part of the world,
is
going to make his debut as fullback for Newcastle. Where's your market on this, Tristan?
This one's been a tricky one to work out where we pop it because obviously with no Kalyn Ponga, it does shift the needle quite significantly. We've gone $1.40, the Dolphins, $2.95, the Knights, 7.5. The market was opened at 6.5 and it's gone from 6.5 out to 7.5, 185 the minus, 195 the plus, and 44.5 the total points. So this is we were talking just last week about how would the Dolphins aim up against the Knights side, against the Eels side, should I say, down on troops. And now they've got the task of aiming up against a side missing their key player in the Knights. And I don't know. I just wonder whether the market may have shifted a little bit further than maybe it it would have been interesting what would have happened if the Eels continued their roll through with that result in the first half of Friday night, where this one would sit. So whilst I think the Dolphins are worthy being favourites and they're very professional, I think the plus might represent a little bit of value here in this game.
Well, Tristan, let me know if you can't get on. Certainly, I'm all over the Dolphins here. And yes, I agree. I think there's got to be a question about giving up 6.5, now 7.5. But I've just got too much trust in how Bennett has his players' heads right. I mean, the man's just been doing this for 35 years. And last week was another reflection of that. Going up to Darwin, all of those outs, there was every excuse in the world that not have your head right and not compete in that game, especially when they were down early with a couple of tries. Yet they just keep turning up. You know, the young seven, he's going so well, as is the nine. And, you know, they're going to get a couple of key players back this week, which they desperately need, against a team that I just think's in free fall. There's so much around the Knights that's just wrong at the moment. I mean, we're 7, 8 weeks into the season and he's got no idea what he's doing in the halves. It's literally like spinning the chocolate wheel every week about who, what combination of the three he's going to play there. And yet we see no response. We have not had a standout game from any one of those three in the halves 8 weeks into the season. I think they've been incredibly soft through the middle, absolutely carved up on numerous occasions and really, really poor. Just got crumbling as the game went on last week. Now they travel. Their travel record's really poor. Jimmy, we talk about the quality of support behind the Dolphins. I do a lot of work around the north side of Brisbane and up to the Sunshine Coast. Let me tell you, there is Dolphins flags, car stickers, jumpers in the street, anywhere and everywhere. It's amazing how they've taken the north side of Brisbane by storm. And when I saw this game scheduled this week, I expected that the game would be at Redcliffe because they will handpick the games where they don't expect to have a big crowd and play at Redcliffe for that local supporter base. They keep moving so many of their games now to Suncorp because they've got such a growing community support. It's amazing. I'm all over the Dolphins here. I just want to back their head and their approach from their coach. I just think it's all in the right space. They're still missing a couple of key blokes, but I think the Knights are in free fall. Dolphins, my best of the week to cover the line.
Yeah, wow. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, Suncorp Stadium and what they're doing up there from a support point of view. And you think about the experience that Bennett has. Think about this, gentlemen. I speak every Thursday to Mal Meninga. He's an immortal of the game. Wayne Bennett coached him as a teenager. Like, it's just crazy when you think about it from that point of view. But, you know, the thing that I love about it, who's Max Plath? Who's Trey Fuller? Isaiah Katoa was a boom youngster, but a youngster, and he's still a youngster. His control with his kicking game is absolutely superb. Who's Jack Bostock?
Yep.
Like, this is what they come in and, you know, this is why I said last week, Dolphins, don't let him leave the building. No. Don't let him coach against you. Yeah. Like, you've got arguably the greatest coach in the history of this game, and you're letting him walk out? I know it might not be fair to Christian Wolf, but what's fair to your organisation? Yeah. So, look, it's no way. And maybe one of the reasons they took this game to Suncorp was Kalen Ponga, hugely popular player. Let's get him at Suncorp and, you know, we'll draw the crowd with that. Now he's not there. Newcastle, they are struggling. They are really, really disappointing. And there's the effort, you know, like, where's the effort? And that's what Newcastle sides pride themselves on, right? You can run last for the year, but if your effort is there, then the very parochial Novocatrian fans will note that. We're not seeing that with this team this year. And as you say, on the road, up at Suncorp, up against the Dolphin side that do show that, it's going to be a tough one. 7.5, not enough. We're all in furious today.
I'm on the plus in this game, so I'm happy to take you guys on in this one. I am nervous because I do think the Knights do need to improve, which may not be there. But yeah, I'm happy to go against you.
Lovely.
Well, that's just for the sake of continuity. Otherwise, we were going to go through potentially without a lunch bet. Well done, Tristan, jumping on the grenade. Thanks for that.
You wouldn't do it. So someone had to take one for the team.
What did I say about selfless players?
Jimmy was just sweating in the background that you were going to go with the plus and the under, Tristan.
Leave me out of that. All right, let's get to the trickiest game of the round. The Raiders up against the Sharks, Sunday, 4 o'clock down there at GIO Stadium. The big news here, obviously, is that Jamal Fogarty is out with that biceps injury. Ethan Strange is going to be partnered by KO Weeks. Okay, Simi Sasangi is into the second row. Chevy Stewart keeps that job at fullback after a tough night against the Broncos. So, Braden Trindle is not in for obvious reasons. Daniel Atkinson is now going to partner Nicho Hynes in the half. Sione Katoa back onto the wing. Sam Stonestreet is out of the 17. But now we're going to get the Sharkies on the road, Tristan, to win down there in Canberra. Where's your market?
Yeah, normally when the Raiders have got a big plus at home, you just automatically want to be with them. And there's still a thought that, and that's why it's made this game really tricky to price, because it's $2.80 the Raiders, $1.44 the Sharks, 7.5 is the line. It's gone 8.5 into 7.5, now 185 the plus. Last game Raiders played at home was against the Titans, and they had all that possession, you know, all the penalty counts, and they only just got over the line in Golden Point. They're obviously now without Jamal Fogarty. They've got a lot of youngsters there, which we'll hope to step up. But we saw what happened against Brisbane, where, you know, the Broncos were too good. And then the Sharks are coming off a really impressive performance last weekend, but they have a poor record down there at Canberra. So, yeah, it's a tricky one to know where this one's going to fall, and it's going to make a fascinating last game of the round.
Yes, indeed, and two key outs. And I just don't know. I'm different to the market. I think Canberra are really well positioned, flying under the radar as the underdog at home. And no doubt the Fogarty is a massive out and going to be longer term a massive out. But back at home off a loss, they've got to get their kicking game right. I'm sure they've done a lot of work around that this week. But the one thing about the Raiders is they like being against expectation, not being favoured, and a home team with 7.5, and it was earlier 8.5, I just think is too much. Certainly Jekyll and Hyde about some of their offerings. I thought they got caught out as a young team, you know, with staring at the headlights last week, and the game got away from them in the first half. But what I did like about them in the second half was that they didn't roll over, they didn't give up. And I think that that shows that there's still some unity about what they're doing. They'll be much better here back at home. The Sharks, their record down here, I think they've lost their last four in Canberra, and a little bit like Canberra for mine. They're a little bit up and down. They were there to be beaten 2 weeks ago by the Rabbits late in that game. They got over the top of the Raiders at Shark Park when they were down 18-0. This will be interesting, and I think the Raiders get a little bit of a chance of revenge.
All right. I'm with the Raiders plus the 7.5. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know who's going to kick the ball in the halves. I've got absolutely convinced that Ethan Strange hasn't got a kicking game. I'm not sure about KO Weeks, but we'll have to wait and see who does the kicking with this Canberra Raiders side. The Sharks have been travelling really well. You wonder about the quality of the opposition that they played against last week. I think they were good against the Rabbitohs the week before that, but the Raiders, underdogs at home, missing players, it's all set up for not a Raiders win, but a Raiders plus the 7.5. So I'd be taking that as an option as well, as I think we've... Dolphins minus 7.5?
Absolutely, Jimmy. Yes, I'm keen about the Dolphins. I don't think 7.5's enough against a weak Knights. Warriors in a close one, Roosters in a close one, Storm by a margin, Eagles by a margin, Broncos by a margin. I think the Panthers get home. The Dolphins are best. And I like the upset in the last one. I think the Raiders can win at home, and I like them with the start.
I'm going to go with the Dragons plus 6.5 is my best bet of the weekend. So where are you taking us to, Jimmy?
Okay, that's $1.93 too, the Dragons plus 6.5 on the topsport.com.au website. I'm going to go back to Four Pines Park with the Seagulls, minus 9.5 in that match against the Parramatta Eels. So real issues there for the Eels. And going back home, I think works well for the Seagulls on a Friday night. $1.85, that one. That'll be my best. Now, we're doing this early, so Racefield's not quite out yet, but we will put those out on social media in the lead up to Saturday's racing. How's that sound?
Yeah, definitely. And don't forget as well, obviously, Anzac Day tomorrow or Thursday, whenever you listen to this, there's a really good meeting at Flemington, a traditional race meeting at Flemington, which has the St. Ledger, which is a nice race there. The favourites, Elma Rise, which has only had two starts. It's at $2.50. And the Anzac Day Stakes, the traditional race day there as well, where there's a pretty open field. So good racing on Saturday, good racing on Thursday, and yeah, top weekend of sport and racing all around.
I love the way you're drinking the Kool-Aid up there at the Gold Coast. All the penalty count went against us, is what you said in the lead up to that game with the Ray.
I told you I'd get it in, Desi. I told you I'd get it in.
I would just point out though, Tristan, they weren't penalties. They were six again. Six. So just to be clear on that one, but
there was one clear penalty though, which we might as well discuss again. But anyway, let's digress, and we'll see what excuse we can come with up after the game over there in New Zealand.
Now, racing tips we're going to put out on social media, unless you got one for that race meeting tomorrow at Flemington, Jared. Tristan, enjoy the trip.
Thank you. I'll do my best to behave and keep Lloyd under control, but looking forward to it. Hopefully we see a good Titans effort amongst a big crowd over there in New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy the weekend, boys, and happy Anzac Day.
Same to you.
Yeah, Anzac Day is a great watch. All the best, gentlemen.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.